Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm is to be read in unison. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went out and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then a parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, Jesus tells us a parable. A parable. These parables that Jesus gave us are so rich, so deep in their meaning, that I don't think anyone can ever fully grasp them. In fact, the desert fathers, monks, who lived in the 4th and 5th century, one of these monks would take one single parable and he would go into a cave and meditate on that one parable for a year. And then he would come out of the cave. And when they asked him, he would say, "I don't think I plumbed the depths of its meaning." Like Zen koans, these parables are rich and deep. Today's parable is most often referred to as the parable of the sower. That's what Jesus calls it, the parable of the sower. Or many refer to it as the parable of the seeds. But I think that it should be called the parable of the dirt. I think that what Jesus was really talking about was this stuff. I took it out of our garden here at the cathedral this morning. You see, in the story, the seeds are the same. Nothing changes with the seeds. It's the dirt that is the variable. It is the dirt that changes. And so it is with God's message. God loves the whole world and spreads the gospel to everyone who will hear it unconditionally and with true love. The variable is who will receive the word of God and how will you receive it. God loves all of you. The question is, will you accept the love that is given? In the parable, Jesus talks about four different kinds of dirt. The first kind is really no dirt at all. It's simply a path that is so worn down that there's no dirt, like a concrete highway. And the seed lands on it, and there's nowhere for the seed to find purchase. And it just withers in the sun and dies. The second kind of dirt is that shallow soil that has rocks, and the seed can grow a bit, but there's no room for its roots, so it'll spring up, but then when trouble comes and the sun beats down upon it, the plant will die. And the third kind of dirt is that soil that has thorns all in it. So although there is some dirt in it, there's not enough room for the roots to grow. They're overcrowded by the thorns. And finally, Jesus talks about the good dirt, the rich soil. You all know this stuff, but you may not have fully contemplated it. What is it made up of? Dirt is made up of stuff that has died. It is, quite literally, nature's trash. Do you realize what that means? That good spiritual soil is made up of the things that you have had to suffer through. The things that you have been challenged by. The things that you wish you could let go and die. I'm talking about broken relationships, mistakes that you've made, failures. I'm talking about illness. I'm talking about pain. I'm talking about the stuff that you've gone through in your life that you wish you could erase from your past, that you wish you could forget, the mess of your life. It's that stuff that makes for rich soil. Good dirt. You know, according to the American story, how we Americans measure our lives is we ask ourselves, how does my life look? Do I have a good family that's all intact and never fights? Do I have a successful career where I make a lot of money? Did I get a good education, maybe even a fancy degree? And we look at our lives with this as our measuring stick, this kind of success value system. But none of those things make for good soil. Success, comfort, prestige, does not make for good soil. No, what God wants from your life is very different. God wants you to grow and die to yourself and grow again. And you know what's really hard? Growth, especially rapid growth, it hurts. I'll never forget when my middle son, Jacob, was, I think, about 7 years old. He woke up in the middle of the night with this pain in his side. I mean, excruciating pain. So I rushed into our bedroom and asked my husband, who was fast asleep, "Which side is your appendix on?" JD had had his appendix removed years ago, and he had a scar, so I thought he could just, you know, look. So he's really sleepy, and he tells me which side the appendix is on, and sure enough, that's the side that Jacob is just in agony about. So I rush Jacob to the emergency room of the hospital, and of course we wait for 3 hours. After about 3 hours, we finally get ourselves into a little cubicle room. The doctor comes in and says, "Oh no, the appendix is actually on the other side." Oh, thanks a lot. Turns out, the doctor says, "No, Jacob is just having a growing pain." Well, I didn't know they could hurt so much. I had no idea that when you grow that fast, it actually hurts. You know, there's this great book that just came out. It's become a bestseller. It's called Mindset, A New Psychology of Success, and it's by a Stanford psychologist. Her name is Carol Dweck. Mindset, A New Psychology of Success. In the book, Dweck has a case study, a scenario. She tells her readers to imagine that they are graduate students, and imagine that you encounter these things in your day. You're going to a class which you really like with a professor that you think is good, and you've worked very hard on your midterm paper. But you're a little late for class, so you park in a spot that's not quite legal, but... And you rush into class, and you've worked so hard on this paper, and you can't wait to get it back. You get the paper back, and you look at the grade, C+. Then you leave the class when it's over, go outside, and you've gotten a parking ticket. And you're starting to feel pretty bad, so you call up one of your good friends. But she brushes you off and doesn't listen. Now, according to the psychologist Dweck, if you are a person with a fixed mindset, you will take these difficult events and you'll use them to define yourself. So within your head, you will be saying, "Oh, that professor's really mean," or, "I am stupid. I worked so hard on this paper, and look what a mess I made. I must be an idiot." And then you'll get outside, and you'll see the parking ticket, and you'll say, "I can't believe those police. They are so mean." And then you'll say, "I'm such an idiot for parking in that place." Or maybe even, "I'm so unlucky." And then when you call up your friend and she brushes you off, you say, "You know, she's really not that good of a friend. I thought she was a good friend, but she really isn't." And so a person with a fixed mindset will use all of these difficult things to define themselves, to drag themselves down. But there is another mindset, she said, that someone can just choose to have, and it is called a growth mindset. In other words, you can take all of these challenges and realize that they make for good dirt. You can say to yourself, I wonder what happened with this paper. I need to go talk to the professor and find out what exactly he was looking for so that the next time around I can do better. Or I gotta pay that ticket off quickly because they make me feel down, and boy, I need to remember to get to class on time so I can find a parking space. And best of all, I need to call my friend back and tell her that it hurt my feelings that she couldn't listen to me. I wonder what may be going on in her life that prevented her from hearing me. Good dirt is actually made up of hard stuff. Stuff that you've had to struggle with. Stuff that has to change and die in order for you to grow. Do you realize what that means? It means that you're suffering, you're grieving, your failures, your mistakes, they're all actually blessings. Can you believe that? Blessings. And that, my friend, that is what the cross is really all about. We're reading this incredible book on Wednesday nights. It's called Toxic Charity. Is that a great title or what? Toxic Charity. What it's about is that so many churches and religious organizations across this country have tried to rescue people when they're suffering. We've tried to fix their problems, give them money, give them food, give them clothing. But rescuing people does not make for good soil. It strips people of their dignity. It creates a toxic kind of dependency, an unequal relationship between giver and recipient that becomes toxic and unproductive. What if we are to join them in their struggle? To help them, yes, but not to rescue them. To understand that it is through the mess and difficulty of life that we grow. And so we want to help them by joining them and helping them find their way forward. This stuff is rich. But it's also messy. It is the stuff of your lives. And God can take the hardest things. And if you are willing, God will use them to help you grow. And that, my friends, is the parable of the dirt. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community and this beautiful earth that we call home. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings.
This community, my family.
Bless and comfort those who are sick, lonely, or grieving. Help all those who are in need. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
John, Carol, Jackie, Rushton.
Embrace the souls of those who have died, especially Catherine Vaughn. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died.
Larry, Don.
We pray for the church throughout the world and for the ministries of this cathedral. Help us to grow in our love for you and for others in the urban core. Help the nations of the earth to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for Ukraine, Nigeria, and all the countries of the Middle East, especially Iraq. We ask you, Almighty God, to forgive all the mistakes that we have made, the things that we have done, and the things that we have neglected to do. Help us to become the people that you call us to be.
Father in heaven, help us to have a growth mindset, to know that the hardship of our lives makes for rich soil. This we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. We need your healing, merciful God. Give us true repentance. Some sins are plain to us. Some escape us. Some we cannot face. Forgive us. Set us free to hear your word to us. Set us free to serve you. God forgives you. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Through Christ, God has put away your sin. Approach your God in peace. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. So glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, would you put your hand up and we'll bring you a present? But you have to hold it up so we can find you, because we don't know who you are unless you keep it up, up, up until you're found and your present is given. So keep those hands up. Welcome, welcome. So glad you all are here with us today. We're glad you're with us. Remember that every Sunday morning, keep those hands up, guys. I see them drifting. Every Sunday morning, we have breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning, followed by classes for all ages, and you're all welcome to join us. Also, Wednesday evenings, lots of great classes. See your bulletin for details. Episcopal School of Jacksonville, which was birthed from this cathedral, I just needed to mention that the Jacksonville Business Journal selected them as the best place to work in 2014. Is that cool? That's pretty good. Next Sunday is the final Sunday before our choir leaves to fly across the Atlantic Ocean and sing at both Canterbury Cathedral and Westminster Abbey. In order to send them forth in style, next Sunday at 10:30, we're going to have a hymn-sing Eucharist. So we're going to have a similar service to today, but we're going to sing some special hymns that originated or were written at those two houses of worship. So I hope you'll come next Sunday, hear some beautiful music, and bless our choir as they go on their way. Last Sunday, we sold some organic vegetables which were grown at Clara White Mission. This is a great organization that helps people help themselves. It teaches people how to be chefs and waiters, and now they are gardening in a large plot outside of downtown. We sold out the vegetables. Thank you so much for buying them. And they're telling us there's nothing more growing right now. But we're going to be able to have a farmer's market here on Sunday morning starting in September so that you can do your vegetable shopping here rather than at Walmart or Winn-Dixie, okay? And that way you'll help give people jobs. Vacation Bible School begins tonight at 6 o'clock and continues every evening until Thursday for all children from pre-K through sixth grade. Everyone is welcome. Even if you haven't registered, you can show up and fill out paperwork when you get there. It's a great way to teach children about the Bible, and they have a lot of fun. There's more details about the program in your bulletin, but in order to kick it off, I want all the people who are going to teach, volunteer, or do anything at all at Vacation Bible School, please come forward so I can bless you. Don't be shy. Come on up, teachers, volunteers, hardworking people. And thank you, Beth, for all of your organization. We're going to hand you out something you're going to read. You may have to share. Look at all these awesome folks. All right, guys, I'm going to say a prayer for you, and then you're going to read these vows that we're passing out, if you can share them amongst yourselves. The Lord be with you. Loving God, you have entrusted us with the message of your power, grace, justice, and love. Knowing that you are in our midst, we ask your blessing on those who will serve in Vacation Bible School. May they serve you in nurturing the spiritual growth of the children who are entrusted to their care. Bless each one gathered here, enabling them to be channels of your grace. Amen. Teachers, volunteers, you have recognized God's call in your lives. Will you be faithful to the task, taking seriously the commitment of time and talent? Will you take seriously your role by studying the scriptures and lessons for each day in Vacation Bible School? Okay, and you read. All right, turn around, everybody. Let's give them a hand for all their hard work. Thanks, everybody. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, we are created and have been.
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Now, please join me as we send forth our Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth, bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray together. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember the dirt. Remember that no matter what you have gone through in life, no matter how painful, it can be used to make rich spiritual soil. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.